Greetings, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church. The Christmas season has arrived. We're in the first of 4 weeks of Advent. Perhaps you're familiar with Advent. Maybe they light a candle at your church. Maybe you have a calendar at home, perhaps one with little candies hidden in the drawers. And when you open them, you're hoping you're going to find a really good chocolate, not one of those licorice pieces or circus peanuts. My apologies if you actually like those. We're now in Advent. And hope is the theme of week one. And Christian hope is not like those candies, which may or may not bring joy to your mouth. Christian hope is total confidence of coming blessing, that God will finish what he started. Christian hope waits patiently, trusting God's promises and purposes for you and I will be fulfilled. As I thought on this, I decided to go to the very first promise of Christmas that God gives to men. It's found in Genesis 3:15. In the context of the beginning of history and the tragic rebellion of humans against their creator God. In Genesis 1 and 2, God had set things in place in a perfect world meant for all of us to flourish. You can see it as having three tiers. On the top you have God, at the bottom, all of wonderful creation, and in the middle, on the level right under God, was mankind. Men were made to look up to God and praise him, obey him, to trust him, and then to give thanks as we enjoyed the blessings of the perfect world under our feet. But onto the scene comes the serpent, a cosmic evil, who calls into question God's goodness and God's instructions about the only thing God had ever said no to. See, God had given mankind a single test to prove their trust in his goodness. And the woman and the man sadly buy into the lie and grasp for the forbidden fruit. They essentially said, "We can decide what's better for us than what our Creator says." And they turn everything upside down. They put God at the bottom and created things at the top. And suddenly they find themselves isolated and ashamed of their nakedness, and they run off and hide in the bushes. It's at this point God arrives on the scene. And you'd think God would curse these two who have committed treason of the worst kind. But God directs his curses in two different directions. He curses the ground because of man. Ever wonder why there's never-ending problems here on earth? For every advance, a new problem pops up. Second, God curses the serpent in Genesis 3:14 and 15. Listen. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Here in Genesis, we find the first gospel glimmer that Christmas is coming. The serpent had won the day. But here God makes a promise that his days are numbered. God declares a war between the serpent's offspring and the woman's, adding that the woman's offspring shall bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent his heel. Joel, what does that mean? Genesis 3:15 is this amazing promise that unfolds throughout the entire Bible, but culminates when a child birth of a woman would deal the fatal blow to mankind's enemy. And it refers to the Christ child, born of the Virgin Mary, our Lord Jesus. He not only came and crushed the serpent's head, but he did more. Isaac Watts wrote about this in his song, "Joy to the World." "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." And he goes on to say that the Lord also came to reverse the curse on earth. "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found." Now you may be thinking, "Pastor Joel, I still see a lot of curse. I don't see the victory of Jesus. Evil's still knocking mankind all around. There's thorns sticking up everywhere." That, my friend, is what Advent is all about. In the same way the shepherd stared up into the sky, waiting in hope for God to send a king, we look up and wait in hope for our king's return. What's his delay, Joel? He's waiting on us. On us to prepare him room in our hearts. He's waiting on us to stop hoping in things of this world that end up amounting to bad candy, which may give us a quick sugar buzz, but end up leaving us feeling sick and empty. Genesis 3:15, friends, is a gospel glimpse meant to lead us to long for a better world that we were made for. Johnny Erickson Tada writes, "The best we can hope for in this life is a not-whole peek at the shining realities ahead. Yet a glimpse is enough. It's enough to convince our hearts that whatever sufferings and sorrow currently assail us aren't worthy of comparison to that which waits over the horizon." My hopeful friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.